turning your Old Testaments, and I'll be in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Give you opportunity for everybody to get there. Book of Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the book of Joshua. That'll help you get there. Book of Joshua will be in chapter 2. While you're turning there, I do want to say, I really appreciate that lady that came all 5 days to Bible school and brought her little grandson. And it takes character to say thank you. Now, it took time for her to buy that thank you card. It took time for her to sit down and write that note. And it took time for her to seal it and stamp it and take it to the post office. That's character. Amen. We appreciate that. I pray the Lord to bless her and her church where she is a faithful member today. Amen. It's a good week. I got 3 thank you letters in 1 week. That's unusual. All of them very positive. Letters of encouragement. Appreciate them too. I've been preaching 51 years. I've got 2 negative letters in 51 years. I'd sign a contract on that again. One of them was mild. One of them was not. One of them attacked every single aspect of my ministry. I mean, cut it to the bone. I mean, inside and out. But you know, I consider it a blessing to be preaching 51 years and only get 2 negative letters in the mail. That's a blessing. I am thankful for folks who take the time to write complimentary letters. And in 1 week, we received 3. And that was a threefold blessing. And so that just shows that there's folks that are saved, born again, people of character, take the time to say thank you to other folks. We ought to all work on that. You know what? We just need to get and learn the habit of saying thank you. Thank you. That's almost a lost art among people in general today. But learn to say thank you. Joshua chapter 2. Now, this is going to be a long scripture reading. I'm going to look at the clock, and it may be time for invitation when I get through reading. Okay. But anyway, follow along while I read. I'm going to read the entire chapter to get the story here. Chapter 2, verse 1. What's the first word? And Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, don't go around saying he didn't have a mom and a daddy, because that's not N-O-N-A, that's N-U-N, okay? Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of her house, hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jericho and to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And this shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. They went, came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, passed over, came to Joshua the son of Nun, told him all things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. The outstanding character in all of these verses of Scripture is a harlot named Rahab. So I've given the title to today's message, A Shady Character Gets Born Again. If you want a subtitle, it would be something like this, The Faith of a Harlot. Let's bow together once again. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd add your blessings to the reading of the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, that we could glean some valuable truths from this lengthy text that we've just read that would help us to be greater servants for you, and that we would have a greater vision to win the lost at any cost. And we thank you for all that will be accomplished as a result of the message today. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. A shady character gets born again. 38 years before this incident, 12 men had gone to see if they could take the land. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you read through it, you know that Moses sent those 12 over to view the land. They came back with a majority report and a minority report. The majority report went like this. There are giants over there. I mean, the ground's just opening up and swallowing up folks. Well, they were Baptist liars is what they were. They had gone beyond, and it really wasn't quite that bad. Now, there were sons of Anakim there. They were giants over there. But the rest of the story, they just made it up. The 10 said, we just can't do it. But there were two of those 12 original men, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we are well able to go up and take the land. As a result of the majority, they spent the next 38 years. You say, I thought there was 40. They'd already been in the wilderness 2 years when he sent them over. In case, that comes out through diligent study of the Word of God, okay? But 38 years before this story we just read in chapter 2 here, those 12 men had gone to see if they could take the land. But here we have two men that were sent by Joshua, not to see if they could take it, but they went to find the best way to enter the land because their mind was made up, we're going to cross Jordan. Now once they cross over, they get into the city of Jericho, they discover a lady that evidently has a room to rent. Up on the town wall, her name was Rahab, a resident of the city of Jericho, and she opened that home up to these men. Now, someone obviously had witnessed that and reported it to the king of Jericho that these men have come in to spy out the land and so forth. As a result, she hid those men and she lied to the king. Now, that poses a question. Why do you think that she lied to him? Well, I think you'll find the answer to that all the way back up in verse 9. Look at this again. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now, here we begin to see the faith of this harlot, Rahab. Okay? She says, we know all of that. She said, I know that. It's good that she could say that. She says, I know that the Lord's given you the land. And she said, not only that, but all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. That was the thinking of all the residents of Jericho. Now look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. My goodness, that happened 40 years before this. 40 years before this. She said, we've heard how God dried up the Red Sea for you folks. Why do you think that's in the Bible? Why do you think that was printed, pointed out there? I think the answer is very simple. God was giving them plenty of time to turn to Him. Now, the liberals, the critics, they read stories like that and how that God brought the Israelites under the direction of Joshua over and that they took all those cities and burned the cities and killed the people, stole their cattle, took their gold and their silver and all of that. They said, oh, I can't believe that a righteous God would do something like that. Hold on just a minute. He'd give them 40 years to burn all their idols, get rid of all their false gods. And that poses the question, how much longer do you think he ought to have given them? He gave them 40 years. And that just answered a Bible question that people often ask. Why did God destroy them? I just answered it for you. Because they were totally given to idols and were totally given to the same problems that we're facing today. Idolatry and sodomites. Homosexuality. That's what led to the destruction of all those cities that refused to turn to God. God didn't destroy a people that had never heard about Him. They'd heard 40 years before. They'd heard about God parting that Red Sea. They were well aware of the God of heaven and earth. But they refused to turn and serve Him. Listen, all of the Middle Eastern countries today where the Buddhists reign, the Muslims reign, Mohammed's their king. Don't kid yourself. Those countries, somewhere in time past, had complete knowledge of the God that you and I serve today. They're third world countries today because somewhere in the past they said no to God. And we'll have a different God. And we'll raise up our own gods. Now, Genesis chapter 15, verse 16 goes all the way back to the days of Abraham. And here's what God said to Abraham. He said, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, talking about the Israelites, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That not only goes back 40 years, that goes back 400 years. The Amorites was one of those ites in the land of Canaan. All right, seven different ites called by name there. And God told Abraham, He said, the time of the Amorites is not yet full. So if you add all that up, God waited patiently 400 years for all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan to decide if they were going to follow Him or some other god. And that poses that question for the second time. How much longer do you think He should have given them? Now think about this. He's not going to give you and me 400 years. He's not going to give us that long. At the best, He's going to give you 70 or 80 years. That's the average life of man. Women 77 and men 74. You ladies got us beat about 3 years in America. But you think about that. That's the average life of a person. Now you subtract your age from that. And that's about all the time you've got left. And you can't sign a contract on that, honey. You might be like the 21-year-old that got hit by the train and wiped out. You don't have guarantees you'll see the sunset this afternoon. So how much longer do you think God ought to give you? My Bible says today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time. Because we have absolutely no promise of tomorrow. 2,000 years have passed since the cross of Christ. 2,000 years ago, He willingly gave His life on that cross. And 2,000 years later, He's still trying to save folks. He's still in the saving business. How much longer you think you ought to wait? Excuse me. These folks in chapter 2 of our text, not only heard these things, all that God had done for them the last 40 years, they knew they were true, but they did not turn to God. Now, you go out today, you're going to find the critics, and you're going to find the agnostics that claim there's not a God, or we're not sure there's a God. You're going to find all kinds of people out there. But yet, in the midst of that, there's still millions and millions of people that if you ask them the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ was a real person? They'll say, yes, we believe that. You go a step further and you say, do you believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again? And they say, I believe that. Then the next question would be like this. Then why have you not trusted him? Why have you not called upon him? Why have you not asked him to save you? Why have you not prayed a sinner's prayer and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I'm trusting you to save me, keep me saved, and take me to heaven one day. How much longer are you going to wait? How much longer do you think God ought to give you? Think about that. You say, what is it, this thing of getting saved? Well, it's calling upon the Lord and trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's notice a pattern here, excuse me, in Rahab's life. Chapter 2, let's go down to verse 12. There's a pattern here. Now therefore, let me be sure I'm in the right place here. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then that next verse, then she let them down by cord through the window. Rahab was saved later by an interesting thing. And it was that little scarlet cord and all of her family. But Rahab, first of all, had heard. For 40 years, she'd heard. But we read here that she not only heard that, but she believed that. Not only had she heard and believed that, but she acted upon that. You see, we live in an age where people have heard. They may believe it up here, but they've never acted on it. They've never asked the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and be their Savior. But she had done all of that. Now, just turn about three pages to the right in your Bible, and you'll be in chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And go down to verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father, her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Now, excuse me. Use imagination here, okay? Here are these men. They've now brought the entire nation across. See, when they first came, it was just these two men. They go to this Rahab's house. She protects them. They go back across Jordan. But now, when you get to chapter 6, the whole nation has crossed over. If you read your Bible, you know the story. God dried up the Jordan River. I mean, in the midst of when it overflowed its banks. I mean, backed it up both directions, north and south, I guess. Most rivers flow that way, north and south. I mean, not all of them, but most of them. They went across on dry ground, the Bible says. Now they're all over here. And they go to the city of Jericho. And God gives them instructions as to how they're to take that city. It's kind of interesting. You ought to read it sometime. How that God instructed how to take that city. But here they are. They're in the midst of that city. They're getting ready to shout it down. Let me say that again. They're getting ready to shout it down. And then all of a sudden, Brother Bill, these two men look up. And there upon the town wall, there's a scarlet cord hanging down. There might have been a little breeze blowing, I don't know. Might have been waving that little scarlet cord back and forth. All of a sudden, those men remember, we promised to save her, her father, her mother, her brothers, her sister, herself, all their goods. And guess what? They honored that treaty. She was saved physically by a scarlet cord. She was saved prior to that when she put her faith in the only God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And she manifests her faith by her works. That's the way it ought to be. Faith produces works. What she did to save the lives of those two men was good indication that she had her faith in their God. And she proved that by her works. You know, it's interesting that those spies knew the place to look, didn't they? On that city wall. They knew what to look for. The scarlet thread. Right here, we have a perfect Old Testament picture of God's plan of salvation. One thing stood between Rahab and physical death. There's a scarlet thread. That's a type of God's plan of salvation. Now, it's not the blood, okay? But it's an Old Testament type of that. She was saved physically by a scarlet cord. We go all the way from there to the New Testament. You only have to read the first four verses in your New Testament, and you'll find the name Rahab mentioned at the beginning of verse 5. Because of the faith that she had in Israel's God, you study the genealogy, and she was the great-great-grandmother of King David. I'm telling you, when you get saved and born again, honey, the best is on the way. She had no idea when she protected those two men that she was actually etching her name in Bible history and actually became the great-great-grandmother of King David. And her name is in the New Testament for us to ever read it over and over again. One thing stood between her and death. One thing stands between me and my destruction. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Seemed like the Holy Spirit must have known what I was going to preach on today. Because of the songs that Brother Bill selected. I don't come in and say, now, Brother Bill, it may be an exception sometime, but I don't come in and say, now, Brother Bill, what are we going to sing? I don't say, Brother Bill, this is what I want to sing today. I had no idea what Seth was going to sing so special. Would you notice the songs that were sang today, how they were sprinkled with the blood? Including the special blood. There's one thing that stands between me and hell, and it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Romans 5 verse 9. Much more then, being now justified, that's a big old word. Now here we go again, JC. That's a big old word, isn't it? That big old word, justified. We had a lot of fun in class today talking about great big old words like lasciviousness and all those big old words. Here's a pretty good one here. Being justified by His blood. Let me give you a simple definition of the word justified. Are you ready for this? Everybody sitting up, paying attention? Justified means just as if you had never sinned. Being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What wrath? Tribulation period. Tell old Brother Stephen, I said that, amen? Teaching all these folks the church is going to go through tribulation. No. Through the blood of Christ, we're saved from the wrath to come. The tribulation period. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's always been the blood. It's still the blood, and it will always be the blood. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some, but all. Would you say that a harlot or a prostitute would be a shady character? I would. But you know what? My Bible tells me that they can get saved. My Bible tells me that homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. I'd say they're pretty shady characters, wouldn't you? But you know what? Shady characters can get saved, can get born again. Drug dealer can get saved, get born again. Alcoholics can get saved, be born again. How in the world do you do all that? Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's just one thing that stands between me and hell, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But that is sufficient. That is sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ, if you call upon Him, will transform you off the road to hell on the paved road to heaven. But if you reject that blood and refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the same blood that would have saved you and the same blood that gives you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be saved, that same blood, unaccepted, will condemn thy soul to hell.